NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, presents The Space Story. All life on Earth has evolved under the influence of gravity. So what happens if you take gravity away? Can basic studies of how lower life forms adapt to zero-G tell us anything about ourselves? That's the focus of many experiments aboard the second International Microgravity Laboratory, or IML2, scheduled to fly on Space Shuttle Columbia next month. NASA's Dr. Victor Schneider says this isn't just another routine science flight.
In previous space lab missions, we've had more of a mix of human physiology and fundamental biology. And this particular mission, the mix is the opposite way, so that we're really doing much more fundamental biology than we are human physiology.
Many of the 44 life sciences studies on IML2 look at space biology using cells from different human and animal organs, insects, snails, amphibians, and fish. One experiment, for example, keeps tabs on goldfish that have had their inner ear position sensing organs surgically removed on one side.
Hopefully, we will be able to see changes in these fish that will then help us to study individuals down here on Earth. About 30 to 40% of all people in the U.S. will have dizziness and lightheadedness sometime during their life. About two-thirds of astronauts who go into space also have dizziness, which is called vertigo, associated with space flight.
Several experiments test theories that zero-G alters normal plant behavior. Which way will roots grow? How do plants sense gravity? Dr. Schneider says answers to basic questions like these are important, even if they don't apply immediately to improving human life on Earth.
And I believe very strongly that this is one of those areas that we need to first sort of put our foot in the door, get some information, and then our society will be very surprised at how much economic benefit as well as health benefit that we'll be getting from these experiments.
Although not strictly part of the life sciences payload, a number of bioprocessing experiments on IML2 could apply to humans. One device filters out cells from the pituitary gland, which produces some of the body's most important hormones, including the growth hormone that diminishes with age, but never goes away.
We think this also happens in space flight, so it's sort of premature aging. And in this particular bioprocessing experiment, they'll be growing cells that produce growth hormone. Then they'll be separating the cells to isolate only those growth hormone-producing cells to see what has happened to them during the space flight.
The IML2 mission combines the efforts of 6 international space agencies and more than 200 individual scientists. Dr. Schneider thinks this high degree of cooperation sets the stage for research aboard the space station later this decade.
There are a lot of cultural differences between one country and another, and the way we handle the scientific questions have historically been a little bit different. And this allows us at NASA to learn from our colleagues in the international area, and it allows our international partners to learn how we do our job.
Dr. Schneider believes that IML2 can and will perform valuable, cost-effective science. But he cautions that the most important benefit from the mission may not be finding out what we know, but what we don't know.
We're able to look at life sciences and ask important questions. But when you do life sciences experiments, it's not like you learn something and behold, you have found the answer. What it allows you to do is then to ask more questions. And so as we go through the steps of additional space labs and eventually into the space station, we're going to ask one question and from that answer get 5 more questions.
This has been The Space Story, brought to you by this station and NASA. For the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, I'm Bob Tebow. We'll be right back.